Much, Barb. I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Mark chapter 6. And while you do that, I'm going to ask Alice if she would come. About a week or so ago, she called me and she shared something with me. And I said, I would like for you to share that with the church. And I talked with her a few minutes ago. Did she leave? There she is. Okay. I talked with her a little bit ago, and I said, I'd like for you to share that this week, next week. And she said, I can do that this week. But her brother, come ahead, Alice, and she's getting her sound. But her brother, Lauren, has been sick, and she's been taking care of him and so forth. And she has a wonderful testimony that I would like for her to share with our church this morning.
Well, my brother and I are the last of six of us, so he's 5 years older than I am. We were raised with Christian parents and going to church, and our whole family knew the Lord, except for him and one other brother. And Lauren accepted Christ or made a profession when he was a teenager, but something happened, and I don't know what it was, but something happened. He got his feelings hurt, and he quit, and he never would go to church. He wouldn't have anything to do with the Lord anymore. He said, there's too many hypocrites. And he got into drinking and leading a pretty wild life. And of course, my mom and dad's heart was broken, and we all prayed for him all these years. He's 86 years old and would have been 87 this summer. And in 2010, his wife died in Phoenix. They had lived there 25 years. And I said, Lauren, you have to come here where you have family. He had no children and no family. And so he has been living with me for 3 years. And I kept wanting to say something and talk to him, and once in a while there'd be a few words said, and he said, I'm okay, and, you know, he felt like he was a good person. And it seemed like there was a wall, and I was afraid to try to drive it too much. I might drive him into more rebellion and just increase the resistance. And so I just kept praying, Lord, I don't know what to say, and I don't even feel led to talk. So either send somebody or show me the right time, the right opportunity, and give me the words. And I just kept waiting and waiting, and then he got sick with pneumonia and infection and so forth, and we went to the ER about 3 weeks ago now. And so they discovered he had lung cancer also, and he just gave up and didn't want to fight anymore. He's had a lot of other health problems. So we went from there to Memorial, and we went from Memorial then till last week we went to a nursing home and put him on hospice. But one day I was sitting at Pasman, and if you see tears, they're tears of joy. And I was sitting at the foot of his bed, and he said, I want to talk about Jesus. So I got up and I said, Lauren, you know, you haven't lived for the Lord. He said, I know. And he said, there's so many religions. I said, well, the other religions are reaching for God and trying to be good and earn their way. And I said, salvation is a gift. And Christianity is God reaching to man. And we have a risen Lord. None of those other religions have, they don't even claim that their person, the guru or the prophet or whatever they're following ever rose from the grave. I said, Jesus, there were many witnesses after he rose from the grave, and he ate and talked with people, And we know that He is God and He is in heaven and we have a living Savior. And he said, well, what do I do? And I said, there is nothing you can do, nothing. None of us can do anything. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness that we've done. It's only by God's mercy. And we have nothing to offer God. I said, Billy Graham went to heaven, but not because he was a preacher, not because he won people to the Lord, not because he lived for the Lord. He went to heaven because he admitted he was a sinner and he couldn't make his own way. And he put his faith in Christ. I said, do you want to pray? And he said, yes. So he told the Lord he was sorry. And he knew he couldn't come on his own. And he wanted Jesus to be his Savior. So.
She called me the day that happened, or the next day, I guess, maybe. But I was like, wow, that's just, you got to share that with our church. And Josh and I went by earlier in the week, I think maybe Tuesday, and got to meet Lauren. I think I had met him at her house maybe briefly, but anyway, we got to meet him, and I mentioned that to him. I said, I heard that you trusted Christ as your Savior. And oh, man, the biggest smile came on his face. And I was just like, it was real. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, was it real? It was real. And he just had such a joy and a peace when we were visiting with him. And so I just wanted her to share that with you this morning. And we just praise the Lord and that she had that opportunity. And she told me one day, she said, my mom said, never give up on Lauren. And church folks, I don't know who you might have in your life. It might be a dad, it might be a brother or sister, it might be a child. Never give up. Never give up on them. And so I praise the Lord for that. Well, let's go to Mark chapter 6. And I want to share with you this morning a little bit of the story when the Lord fed the 5,000. You know, it's easy oftentimes to praise when the sun is shining. You know, was it Monday? It was just beautiful out. And yesterday was pretty nice. But man, I just feel better, don't you, when the sun's shining than when the clouds are there and so forth. And so, a lot of times it feels like the sun is shining and things are going well and they're going good. And it's just encouraging. But then it seems like somehow disappointment ends up getting in our way, and disappointment, it enters into our lives and so forth. And they're hard. And when disappointment comes into your life, whatever it may be, maybe a plan that you had that did not work out. Maybe it would be a marriage situation, or maybe it would be a health situation that just changed all of your plans for your future and so forth. Maybe it be a job that you've had for a long, long time and you love the job and then it goes away. I don't know what it might be, but it's easy to praise the Lord and so forth when the sun is shining and all is going well, but when disappointments come and hard times come and the troubles come, it can be really, really hard. And we know that everything is not the same. It's not, you know, we got a picture of the Cardinals baseball team here, and when the Cardinals lose, that's disappointment, isn't it? No. I was waiting for that. You're alone today because John's gone, all right? So, but when they lose, it's disappointing. But it's not the same as when a loved one passes away, or when the doctor says the word cancer, or things like that. Because we think, well, there's always next year. The Cubs have been saying that for 98 years, and they finally did it. That's a different disappointment. It's hard, but it's not the end of the world in some situations. But other times, it's very, very difficult. Someone once said, we have a picture of a bird here with a broken wing, and someone said, when dreams die, it's like a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. And sometimes that's exactly how it is when disappointments come into our lives, that we just cannot seem to go to the next day and survive. And that's what some disappointments are like. And some disappointments, they just devastate us. They're devastating. And they bring confusion. And they bring confusion fills our hearts and fills our minds. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever done this. I know that I have tried. I wouldn't recommend it. I don't recommend it. I don't think it's how we should, but we try to bargain with God. You know, God, if you'll just do this, then I'll do this. But we don't barter with God. He's our Heavenly Father, and we go to Him and we ask Him, and we can share our hearts and our burdens with Him, but He's not a God that we barter with like we would someone at a yard sale or something like that. It seems that sometimes all hope is lost. And what we have is not enough. Just don't have enough of what we need to get through sometimes the crises or the disappointment. I want you to go to the Gospel of Mark, and I want us to look at chapter 6. And I want to go down to verse number 33, if we could. Look what the Bible says here. But the multitudes, they saw them departing, and many knew Him. A lot of people had been following Jesus. A lot of them were following Him for the things that they could get. They were following Him to see the miracles, but they weren't following Him because they felt that they needed what He was preaching or talking about or salvation. And so they were following Him and they knew Him. And the Bible says, and they ran there on foot from all the other cities, and they arrived before them, and they came together to Him. And Jesus, when He came out, He saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. That really describes the culture that Jesus was ministering in. These scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders were scattering the flock with all of their rules and their regulations and their lack of preaching the truth about Christ. They refused to recognize Him and give up any of their authority to this Messiah or this rabbi, supposed Messiah. And they were, as Jesus had compassion for them, they were like sheep having no shepherd, just kind of wandering around doing their own thing. And the Bible says, so He began to teach them many things. Verse number 35, and when the day was now far spent, His disciples, they came to Him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." The disciples are counseling Jesus, listen, okay, send them away. Because the day it's late in the day, they need to be able to go to the villages around and buy food and something to eat. Now in verse number 37, the Bible says, "But he answered and said to them, You give them something to eat. And they said to him, Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, How many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And if you go and read John chapter 6, they found a little boy that he's the one that had this. And so they find him and they say, Lord, this is what we have. We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. There's a little boy here that has this. Well, then in verse 39, this is what Jesus said. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in ranks, that is in groups of certain numbers, maybe 50s and so forth, in hundreds and 50s. And then it says, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. And so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. And now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. That doesn't include women and children. Now I want us to think about this for just a few moments if we can. It is tempting, if you would, to offer a quick and easy verses for people. A lot of times we will quickly go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 when someone is going through a crisis or a disappointment, and we will quote that verse, and oftentimes we are completely taking it out of context or out of the, you've got to take it in the whole passage of what it's talking about. And we can come up with a quick and easy sayings and verses. But just to be honest, sometimes those don't help in a real time of disappointment, a real time of need. And sometimes they can even do harm rather than good. And so I want us to try to glean a couple of things, if we can, from just this passage here. I want you to catch this and notice this. If you want to jot it down, you can. But I want you to see this, and I want you to understand, we will never have enough. You or I will never have enough. When we are in the midst of disappointment and trials and problems and things come into our lives, you and I, we will never have enough. As a pastor, I know that I will never have enough to feed everybody where they're at in their spiritual needs in our congregation. I know that. And you know, there's often times when I can preach a message and folk will go out and they'll say to me, boy, that really, and, you know, their problem has nothing to do with what I was preaching about or talking about. But God, through His Word, can speak to them and encourage them and challenge them. And so I know that I will never have enough. And that's why it's also super important for you to realize just coming to church once or twice a week, that is not going to grow you spiritually like you need to grow. You need to go and dig into God's Word and feed yourself Scripture also. You need to be in prayer and Bible study and Bible reading. How many of us, when we had our children, we would feed them on Sunday and then wait until the next Sunday? That's ridiculous. And it's also ridiculous for a Christian to think that they can get enough food for their week by listening to me for 40 minutes. It's just not going to happen. You need to grow yourself. But we're never going to have enough just on our own. We're not going to have enough. Secondly, I want you to see this. We're not supposed to have enough. God has never intended for you to have it all together and have everything that you need. You're not supposed to have enough. You're supposed to realize your need and that the Lord is there to help you. Jesus asked, "What do you have?" That's what he told the disciples. "Well, find out what you have." Now, I don't know. There's 5,000 people that are there and they're listening to Christ. I imagine if they were like folks today, the moms probably had, they didn't have backpacks probably, but they had something with some snacks in them probably for the kids. They probably had a little bit of something and maybe they had a little bit of water. I don't know. But I doubt that they all went there just totally empty-handed. But they didn't have enough. And what we're to learn to do is there are times when we face disappointment, when we face struggles, when we face difficulties, when maybe you're in school and high school or college, and it just seems like you don't have enough. It just seems like, you know, the world is so rough and tough and it's hard. Or maybe your job seems difficult. Or maybe you're just having a financial crisis. Or maybe you're having a health need. All of a sudden the doctor says, you know, you've got cancer. And you have to hear that word that is so painful. Or maybe you and your spouse had plans to travel and to do this and that and so forth when you retire, and then your health gives out, or a financial crisis happens, and so all of those plans just kind of, they get tabled. And you don't have enough. And we're to take our not enoughs, if you would, to the Lord. I don't know what crises you may be going through or what problems you may be having. They may be at school. They may be at college. They may be at work. They may be on your job. They may be in your marriage. They may be in your home. They may be financial burdens that you never expected. It's not your fault. But the Bible encourages us to take everything to the Lord. Philippians 4 in verse number 6 and 7 says that we're not to be anxious, but with thanksgiving, take our supplications and our prayers and our needs to the Lord. Because He can bless it. He can take care of that need. We need to make that a priority. I want you to see another thing for you to understand. Is that, you know, we can have joy. We can have joy even in disappointment. Well, how in the world can we have joy in disappointment? I want to give you a great example. Got a picture of Christ on the cross. Now, while you think about that and you see that picture, I want to read to you a couple of verses from Hebrews. Just think about this, what the Lord says here. In Hebrews, and the Bible tells us in verses 12, 1 and 2, "Therefore, we also, since we are succumbed by so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, take that in the context, if you would, of chapter 11, where it lists the hall of faith, where it talks about all of the people that believed God. They believed God. Abraham believed God and offered up Isaac. Moses believed God and chose rather to suffer the affliction of men rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. On and on it goes through there. And it talks about the hall of faith. That, I believe, is the cloud of witnesses that we have. He's talking about. We are succumbed, or we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And it goes on and it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." It traps us. Church, listen to me. Sin is fun, but it's a snare. It's a trap. Satan uses it to deceive you. Satan uses it to trip us up. He uses it to destroy our lives. He says you need to lay aside the weight, the burdens, the hard things, and the sin that does, it ensnares us, it traps us. We need to lay that aside and look at it. It says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, look at this. Then he's going to give us an example here. We're to put all these worldly concerns, these things, these burdens, we're to kind of set them aside, set sin aside, set the disappointments. If you can, get refocused. You know, you have to refocus. You need to get tuned in. And look what happens here. He gives us an example. And he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If it were not for Jesus, we would have no hope of salvation. We would be headed to a devil's hell. We would be in debt of our own sin before a holy and righteous God. We would be without any hope of redemption. And it says here, the author, that is, he designed it, he planned it, and he finished it. He finished it on the cross, and he finished it when he was resurrected out of the tomb. Amen? And so our hope of salvation is in Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, look at this. This is powerful. This is awesome. Who? For the joy. What? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. It was shameful to be on a cross. That was a humiliating, awful, shameful death. Who, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, folks, we could go and we could read some other passages such as Gethsemane. Jesus was there. He told the disciples, watch and pray. They kept nodding off. And the Bible says Jesus, he was there praying. And great drops of blood would drip from him like sweat. And he would say, Father, if it would be your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. That wrath that he was talking, that cup was the wrath of Almighty God. Can you imagine the very Son of God? If you have children, you cannot imagine them suffering, and you would take it for them. You don't want to see them hurt. You don't want to see them struggling and suffering, and you would rather it be you than them. But God the Father watched his Son be humiliated, be beaten, be whipped, just mocked, slapped, spit on, mistreated. Jesus left heaven at his Father's will, came to this earth, endured that, despising the shame. Not the shame had to have been awful, and yet it did not keep him from the cross. He was focused, And it said, but for the joy. But for the joy. You know what? Jesus could see the end from the beginning, couldn't he? He knew that that was the purchase price that he had to pay to redeem you and me from our sins. And if he didn't pay it, no one would and no one could. And you and I, we would be lost for eternity without any hope of salvation. You see, there's no hope in you to save yourself. There's no hope in me to save myself. All our hope is in Christ and Christ alone. And I just love that. Jesus tells the disciples, like, where are we going to get all this food? And Jesus, he fed 5,000. And there was 12 baskets left, one basket full for every disciple. You know, after that, what are they carrying a basket? You know, I don't know what they were doing. But God took care of them. And you see, I don't know what your disappointment is. I don't know what your trial is. I know what mine are. I don't know what yours are. I don't know what mine are down the road. I don't know what yours are down the road. I don't know what you've been through and so forth. But you see, in our disappointments, in our struggles and everything, you are not going to have enough. Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to the Lord. He knows. He knows, and he will take care of you. He will take care of you. Musicians, would you come? Folks, would you stand with me? Imagine, if you can, kneeling at the cross, because that's what we all must do. We must all kneel at the cross. And truthfully, we may not always see God's hand. Matter of fact, oftentimes we do not see God's hand. We do not see God's hand when we hear the word cancer. We do not hear or see God's hand when we hear about sexual abuse or divorce or illness, or work problems, or family problems, or financial problems. What we end up doing is we load ourselves down with not enough. And I want to tell you today, would you take your not enoughs, and would you kneel at the cross and put them there? Maybe it's a burden like I've mentioned. But you know, I would say the greatest not enough that anyone in this room could have, that is enough righteousness to save yourself. That means none of us have enough to bring salvation to ourselves. We must listen to a holy and righteous God, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, knock on our heart's door and say, oh, would you let me in? Would you let me be your Lord and Savior? Maybe you're here this morning and that's where you're at. Would you today, would you take your not enough? Would you say, Pastor, I know I don't have enough. I know I need to be saved. I need a Savior. Would you pray for me? Pray with me. My friend, if you're like that here today, if you'll come, I would be happy. We'll meet you. We'll have someone. We'll go to a prayer room and we'll pray with you and show you from the Scriptures how you can be saved today. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe there's something else, another decision you need to make. Maybe you need to make this your church home and get in and get involved and serve the Lord. Maybe you need to get in a Bible study, a growth group somewhere and begin to grow. I don't know what your need is, but God does. Would you take your not enough and give it to the Lord this morning? Father, as we come before you, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us. The Lord, whatever the situation might be in folks' hearts today, you know their need. I do not. But Lord, you know their need. And Father, I pray that you would help them to realize Yeah, they don't have enough, but you do. And help them to take that to you. Father, I pray that if there's any here this morning that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would just have the courage and the boldness, Lord, to make that decision. That, Lord, you would just help them with that first step, that they would step out. And today, Lord, receive you as Savior. Lord, we pray all of these things in your name. Amen.